Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Creator, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our friend. Amen. My father, Lewis, is a teacher by profession, but he has held a wide variety of jobs in his life, mostly not by choice, but by necessity. When he was relatively newlywed and my sister and I were little, he taught high school science, and it was a private school, and for a while he even served as the chaplain of that school. But then, I'm just going to call him Lewis, my dad, was blindsided by circumstances he did not expect and certainly did not want, and we were forced to move suddenly. So he took a job milking cows at a dairy. This was in Pennsylvania, dairy country. And then he worked in a group home. He loved that job. He held a part-time job driving a bread delivery truck, got up at 4 a.m. to do that. For a while, he drove a cab. That was the most stressful job he ever had, and he didn't do that for too long. Finally, he was able to get back to teaching. But what a journey for him. And why did he do it? A man with a good education who was such a dedicated teacher. Because he had a family. He had to feed his family, had to pay the rent. He did what he had to do, and hand to God, he did not complain. Never. Did he enjoy some of those jobs? Yeah, he did, especially in the group home working with those kids. He loved that. Did some take a toll, like bread delivery at 4 a.m. and driving a taxi? Absolutely. Does he regret taking the jobs? No, because he was taking care of us. In our gospel text, we encounter a man who did what he had to do. Imagine the scenario from Joseph's perspective. He was a carpenter, so a skilled tradesman means he did reasonably okay financially. No one was rich, but, you know, okay. Joseph was a descendant of the house of David, and he was a good man, a devout believer, and he was engaged, which was almost the same as being married. It means that the vows had already been made, so that was it. This was the person. But they hadn't, like, lived together yet. And he was engaged to a woman named Mary, who was also known to be devout. And imagine his shock when he heard the news. Perhaps Mary came to him trembling and in tears, or maybe glowing with an unearthly light and confidence. It might have been her father who came to Joseph, pulled him into the house, shut the door, delivered the news. In a tense voice, hands clasped, Mary is pregnant, and you, Joseph, are not the father. What are you going to do? This was very serious. Exposing the situation publicly would ruin Mary's life, disgrace her as well as the family. It could expose her to greater danger. Joseph cared for her and did not want that, so he decided to just divorce her quietly and go back to his own life. And that night, our text says, just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Matthew tells us that when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He was a good man, a righteous man, the gospel tells us. And we are right this morning to pause and to lift him up and give thanks for one of the lesser sung heroes of the Christian story. Whereas Mary, who we sang about in our opening hymn, whereas Mary is usually praised, and rightfully so, because she said yes to bearing the Son of God, Theotokos, God-bearer, rightfully praised, This morning we recognize Joseph, a man who had good reason to say no and to walk away, but he didn't. Joseph heard God's word in the night, and he married a woman who was carrying a child, not biologically his, and he went on to protect the family, taking them to Bethlehem and then to Egypt before returning to Nazareth to raise the boy, Jesus. God called and Joseph answered, and he filled the role in the Holy Family. Joseph's obedience and faithfulness in caring for his family was tremendously significant, as it is for any parent, any spouse who cares for their family. But the story in which Joseph played a part is much bigger. It is ancient. It is still unfolding. Joseph was called to take his part in God's plan for the salvation of all people. Through the prophet Isaiah, God promised King Ahaz that God would save the people of Judah from foreign aggressors. We heard that already this morning. And that a child named Emmanuel would be the sign of God's intention. And go further back, God promised King David that one of his descendants would always be on the throne of Israel. Joseph is a descendant of the house of David. And we can go still further back into the stories of our ancestors in the faith that were passed down by word of mouth for 1,000 years before they were written, and see that God promised Abraham and Sarah that through them, through Abraham and Sarah, all the world would be blessed. All these promises. One unfolds and then the next and then the next until they are realized in the form and the birth of a child, God's Son, incarnate, love deep in human flesh. In the beginning, the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And on another day, the Spirit of God came to Mary to create in her a child. And on a night not long after that, the Holy Spirit spoke to Joseph, saying, "Joseph, take her as your wife, take Mary, and raise that boy as your own." God's promise came to an ordinary man and tapped him on the shoulder and invited him to step into the whirlwind. And he did. People of God, God's promises are for you as well. Not only did the birth of God incarnate, God made human, born as a child, born to die and rise again, bring forgiveness and salvation to the world. Not only that, but that child's birth is God's promise to you now. God is always creating. God is always making a way out of no way. The Israelites were conquered by the Romans, and there was no son of David on the throne. Yet God's creating Holy Spirit came to Joseph and said, "I'm making something new in Mary's womb, and this one is going to knock your socks off. No one will believe it. Joseph, will you accept and protect this baby and the mother? Will you step out in faith and answer this call?" And he did. And I wonder how that call will come to you and to me. When the God of light, who is light, and we celebrate that light today, when the God of light, who is light, shines the spotlight on you. Ooh, what, me? Shines it on us. And we stand there squinting, trying to figure out what's going on. What will we do? And will we say yes? The story of Lewis and the story of Joseph, those are stories about a faithful response when God or the economy or adverse circumstances or a new opportunity taps us on the shoulder and asks that we act in new ways, ways that we did not expect. I'm going to cry again. When I think of ordinary people acting faithfully in unexpected circumstances, my thoughts carry me to Bondi Beach in Australia last week, where two men opened fire on a crowd of Jewish people celebrating Hanukkah. 15 people were killed, many more were injured. It was unspeakable, and it happens, and then it happens again. But death is not the whole story, as Rabbi Dave at Congregation Beth Chaim said in a message to his congregation this past week, and I thank Elizabeth Hopkins Kurtz, for pointing it out to me. As he said this past week, "We have lost so much, But in the midst of loss, we find each other. The rest of the story includes Boris and Sophia Gurman, ages 69 and 61, who saw one of the gunmen exit his car and tried to stop him. Senior citizens, they tried. They wrestled him until he overcame them, and then they were killed. But they slowed the attack. And during the shooting, Ahmed El Ahmed, an unarmed 43-year-old Muslim fruit shop owner born in Al Nairab, Syria, disarmed the older gunman, fought him, disarmed him before being shot by the other gunman. And thanks be to God that Al Ahmed lives today in the hospital, but he lives. There were other heroes. Another man tried to stop the gunman, and he was killed. Lifeguards delivered aid to victims literally under fire, and police finally ended the rampage. No one that day expected any of it, but ordinary people, including a Muslim man who was a new citizen of Australia, saw what needed to be done and risked his life to save Jewish lives. May all their memories be a blessing forever. So how is God calling you? How is God calling this congregation? We pray that it is not to save others under active fire. Right? We hope to not be tested in that way. It could happen. Still, what are the opportunities before us to be light and to shed light in this world? What will our faithful response be when God's Holy Spirit comes to us? Lewis did what he had to do. He had a family to support, so he milked cows, delivered bread, drove a taxi, paid the rent, put food on the table. It was necessary, it was ordinary, and it was heroic all at the same time. But that story is about more than just a family making it through hard times. The story is about God's promises to see us through, and about God's Holy Spirit who hovers over us just as she hovered over the waters of creation and brought light out of darkness. I can't begin to predict how Holy Spirit may move creatively in your life or in mine, but let me offer a few suggestions about what we might do. We're in the sprint to Christmas. Nerves are frayed. Maybe we're beginning to worry about bills. Maybe some are beginning to feel that familiar feeling of disappointment or of loneliness growing. What if we just set that aside? What if we just consciously, intentionally said, I am light. The light of God shines in me. I'm going to act like light. I'm going to be light. Reach out with unexpected kindness. Give more money to those in need and less to those who already have enough. What do you give to someone who has everything? Well, not more stuff. Give them your love and give your money to someone who needs it. Say to yourself, I've done enough shopping and decorating and cooking and whatever else. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to meditate and I'm going to sing the hymns and I'm going to pray and I'm going to call a friend and I'm going to read a story to my grandkids and I'm going to give a homeless person a break. These are small things. And yes, day to day, our call is to do our part in God's bigger plan, to do what is right and faithful. It's ordinary, it's not always glamorous, it's definitely heroic. When God's call comes, let us, like Joseph, get up, get up, get up, and do as the angel of the Lord commands. Amen.